one is all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that
Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection, a place of shared unity and equal common ground for all peoples and cultures, a unity not built on separation and blindness, but a solid foundation built on the respect for all walks of life, molded by the thirst of the people for change. In unity, bridging the gap, for we are the voice of we the people. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are toll-free, 888-389-3452, or 877-489-6350. Direct lines. Same area code is 530-776-5144 or 776-5154 and 413-4511. Tonight, our show is about the truth embargo, facts on Washington. Our guest for this evening has always been a true honor to have him on this show to bring forth some very critical information that humanity worldwide deserves to know. He has worked very diligently traveling the world, speaking to large groups of individuals, along of representing we the people worldwide. I feel just as passionate about his endeavor on the truth embargo as he does. And I do feel very strongly that we the people do indeed have that right to know the truth. Our guest for this evening is Stephen Bassett. He is a leading advocate for ending the 62-year government-imposed truth embargo regarding an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. He is a political activist, lobbyist, commentary, and columnist. He is the executive director of the Paradigm Research Group and the Extraterrestrial Political Action Committee, the creator of the Paradigm Clock, and the executive producer of the X Conference. His work has been extensively covered by the medium. I'd like to share a very important link to each and every one of you tonight, because you do make a difference, and that is www.factsonwashington.org. Please, let's all give our guest for this evening a warm welcome to the show. Aloha, Steve.
Aloha, Leilani. It's nice to be with you again.
Likewise. I'm really excited about sharing the facts on Washington with all our listeners for this evening. So let me ask you this, Steve. What is this all about, facts on Washington?
Essentially, it is the current and most important advocacy project of Paradigm Research Group, which has one goal, and that is the end of a government-imposed truth embargo, as you mentioned in the opening, concerning this extraterrestrial issue, the UFO issue, and effectuating the disclosure event, which would be the formal acknowledgement of this extraterrestrial presence by the United States government and other governments of the world. This is a big deal. It's so big sometimes it's scary. You you step back from it and it's still big. We just happen to be living at the time when this is going to take place. Does it mean that ETs haven't been in contact with humans for thousands of years? Who knows? But this is the time when the planet has reached a point where it is advanced enough, technologically sophisticated enough, that it knows enough about space and the universe itself that it is ready to apparently join an unknown size collection of other civilizations. It's like a bar mitzvah, I guess, a bat mitzvah. It's a coming out. It's a coming of age. Whatever you want to call it, this is what's going on, and we just happen to be here for it. Not surprisingly, it's a big deal and complicated, and it's tied up in all kinds of terrestrial human knots. Like a kid trying to become an adult. They get tied up in knots, and they're not sure of themselves, and they don't know what's going to happen, and they make lots of dumb mistakes when they're a teenager, and somehow or another they survive that and become an adult. Well, that's what's happening here. Are we going to survive our adolescence and become an adult? This is the best explanation I have for what has been happening. And what's been happening is that starting in 1947, ET showed up in droves. Their vehicles in the skies, being seen, photographed, chased by our airplanes. We tried to shoot them down. There may have been consequences. And the government was pretty upset and facing multiple problems. The post-World War II situation did not go well. It's funny how that works. You have a war, and then afterwards you think things would be great, and no, they're not great. What you have is the beginnings of the next war. And so by 1947, we had nuclear weapons being developed, hydrogen and atom bomb technology under development both here and in the Soviet Union. We had German scientists working for both the Soviet Union and the United States to build missiles upon which the nuclear weapons would eventually be mounted. We were on our way to the next war, and that would be the war to end all wars. So the government was very upset when suddenly these ETs were all over the place. And they made a decision, which it's hard to argue against, that this had to be contained, it had to be controlled, classified, whatever it took to keep this from becoming public knowledge, becoming publicly accepted, formally acknowledged. And they instituted what I refer to as an embargo, not a cover-up. That cover-up, or embargo rather, is now in its 62nd year, and it needs to end. And what's happened is that starting after the Cold War, a political process began to slowly build towards the political resolution of this issue, leading to the disclosure event. Some call it the disclosure process. That's fine. I call it a disclosure movement. It's exopolitics. It's not about science. It's about a political decision to tell the truth. And PRG was formed in 96 to pursue that. And this project, The Facts on Washington, is the latest and perhaps most important of the advocacy efforts to achieve the goal. Now, here's the history real fast. In early 2008, I made the decision that we would take advantage of this extraordinary election process, the most expensive and longest election in American history, to try to introduce the issue into the political processes, the political campaign coverage and everything else, which we were able to do, including getting some questions asked of some of the candidates during the campaign, even during one of the debates. And then also during 2008, we did everything we could to build the disclosure network, take it international, expand its size, which we were able to do. And with that accomplished, then in October announced the Facts on Washington Phase 1, which was leading to where we are right now. To take this to the tipping point, the trigger point, where we could create a situation that essentially brought disclosure about. And here's how it's going. In Phase 1, people all over the world were sending letters to the new president, this new amazing man that has turned up in our world.
Yes.
Calling for him to disclose, to get briefed, to have congressional hearings and so forth. These letters poured into the transition headquarters for 77 days. Then phase two began on January 21st with the inauguration, and now all this correspondence went to the White House calling for, again, disclosure. We want calling for the technology that they have had in their possession for 60 years to be made now available for commercial, for peaceful development, right, to address our mounting problem, and so forth. And those letters poured in, right?
Okay.
And in the media presentations that were going on and many interviews that I gave during that period, we sort of sent a message, and that's how you have to deal with administrations sometimes. You send your messages through the media because they can't take that many phone calls. So the message we sent was, look, you've got to the military intelligence complex is comfortable with you as president. I think they would have been happy with Clinton or McCain. The pressure on this embargo has grown to inexorable degree. Other countries are breaking ranks. You need to disclose as quickly as possible in the administration, new administration. If you do not do that, this embargo is going to become your embargo.
Yes.
And yes. That will just about destroy the whole transparent, open government reformist pillar that you have created for your administration. Put the lie to it completely. And secondly, if the U.S. doesn't disclose very soon, another nation is going to preempt it, and they're going to disclose. Japan has a space program. China is sending probes into space, including Mars. The Europeans have Mars observers up there.
Even Mexico.
Japan, there's stuff up there, and the ability to control who sees what and who tells who about what, that's all breaking down. And, of course, documents and files are being released by the tens of thousands. If they don't disclose, another nation is going to do it.
That's
and
right.
If you can't do this by the end of the first 131 days, this is through May 31st, then we're going to take the heat up another notch. Well, they didn't. Fine. Now we go to the next level, phase three. And Facts on Washington, phase three, which it's all laid out. The material went up yesterday, factsonwashington.org. We now shift the focus to the end game, in a way. And so this is what's going to happen in the month of June. It's going to continue beyond June if necessary, but this is what's going to happen in the month of June. We're going to try to create a critical mass of media inquiry that will launch a media frenzy of questions forcing the administration into a position where disclosure has to happen immediately.
Yes, it does.
Here's how we're going to do this, Lomali. Dozens of organizations in the ExoPolitics World Network and in the Disclosure Movement Network have been contacted, and they're going to be putting out press releases, at least hopefully two per organization throughout the month of June. So scores of press releases linking this issue to the administration and people in the administration and a lot of other keywords are going to be bouncing all over the Google world. In addition, several dozen commentators, writers who have been writing for the direct media, the direct journalism, as I call it, this new emerging, very powerful arena where venues regular people are able to sign up and write articles directly to the public without an intervening editor. I'm talking about The Examiner, American Journal, Op-Ed News, News Blaze, The Canadian, City Libre. There are a number of these, with The Examiner probably the fastest growing. And they have been churning out UFO-related articles by the scores over the last year. And in June, they're going to focus their articles on the key subject matter behind the Facts on Washington Phase 3, thus generating a whole another slew of Google returns on news subjects related to the administration.
Allow me to interject here for just a moment, if you would, Steve, if you'll hold your thought. I'd like to personally encourage every one of you out there today is to go on to the site, and let me give you that web link as well, and that is www.paradigmresearchgroup.com. www.faithandfaith.org. You can find a wealth of information about Facts on Washington. As for all of your convenience tonight, we are posting that information throughout the broadcast. As you all know, there is a wealth of information with all the links posted as well, so that you can, and I'm going to leave that up there, but you can make a difference. Take this information, post it on your blogs, post it on your website. There is many, many different avenues that all of you can help support the lifting of the truth embargo. I'd like to turn it back to you, Steve. Go ahead.
Thank you, dear. So in addition to all of that kind of seeding of the media and the internet and the cross-linking and all that stuff that'll happen, what is going along with that is this. Two other things are happening. One, we're asking that all of the people who sent letters to the president-elect and the president over the last 208 days now copy those letters. All right, send a copy of those letters to the administration to a new target. And the target is the White House Press Corps. This is that group of individuals who is on C-SPAN every day, if you watch, who are in the briefing room asking questions of the administration's spokesperson, Mr. Gibbs. They have more access to the administration than any media in the world, 5 days a week, 365 days a year. And they are represented by a single organization, the White House Correspondents Association, the WHCA. And when they do their, if they don't do their job, if they become too, how would you say, enamored with privileged position there in that briefing room, if they're worried too much about offending the administration or the WHCA, if they don't do their job, they fail the country, and there can be very bad consequences. But the media have been coming around. They have been doing a much better job in the last 2 years, particularly from the bottom up. And we're higher and higher tier journalists are getting involved. And it's about to break it to the top tier where it has to happen. And so we're going to sort of facilitate that. So they're going to be getting copies. The White House Press Corps, care of the White House Correspondents Association, of these letters to Obama. Obviously, all this contact info is up at factsonwashington.org. And then in addition, we're calling on everybody within the sound of my voice, and there's going to be a lot of media and a lot of exposure on this issue this month, every American, to also write the press corps, right, including those that sent letters to the president, write the press corps,
yes,
in care of the White House Correspondents Association, and say, we want questions regarding the UFO ET issue asked of this administration, and we want appropriate answers. Now, that's not enough. What questions? And what's politically relevant? What's clearly appropriate? Well, there's plenty. And if you go to factsonwashington.org, what you will find there is a list of 15 questions. This may be updated, which have enormous political significance, connected to the UFO ET issue, right there, and we suggest people simply select those they like and say, look, these are the ones I want to ask. Ask these and demand an appropriate answer. And we want this, and of course the White House Correspondents Association has a nice email contact page, a fax number, and an address, so people can send all three. And we want this correspondence to pour in the month of June as densely as possible. We don't want to spread it out. We're trying to hit a critical mass here.
Yes.
And when the press goes to look at those questions, when they follow up and go, what are these questions? Well, all right, so they're going to go to factsinwashington.org. Here's what they're going to find. Intermixed in these questions are links to all the documents and the material and the information backing them up. Now, what does this mean? What's going on here? What's behind the scenes that makes this work? Because it takes more than that. You just can't throw general questions out there and go anywhere with this. There is, in fact, two major resources here that lie at the center of all this that guarantees that it has to move forward and almost guarantees that once it gets going, it can't be stopped. And what I'm referring to is this. One is the legacy of Lawrence Spelman Rockefeller, one of the sons of John D., billionaire. In 1993, he made the decision that whoever won the election, well, he made the decision in 92, whoever won the election, whether it was Clinton, Perot, or H.W. Bush, he was going to approach that administration immediately and try to persuade that administration to release all of the UFO documents in the government hands, reinvestigate Roswell, and grant amnesty to anyone in government who would can come forward with information. He wanted the embargo to end, and he wanted that new president to be the disclosure president.
If I may interject here for a moment, please hold your thought. I'm hearing some of the questions from the listeners this evening, and, you know, we've touched on if we, the United States, does not come forth and exposing the truth about extraterrestrial interaction, mm-hmm. There are all some other hidden factors there as well. And I'd like to touch a little bit on that, if we may, Steve, because I feel like this will broaden the picture of a greater understanding of why it's so important for humanity as a whole that this is exposed to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you mean rationale? Why bother at all? Why not just let the government do what it wants?
Right,
this is a broad and deep subject without question. I mean, many books will be written about this, and it's somewhat subjective. There's plenty of room for disagreement. The view that I have, which is shared, I think, by a lot of people and a growing number of people, is that the planet has hit an absolute crisis point. Not a country, not a race, not a group, not a political party. The planet, the human species, has hit a crisis point.
That's correct.
We have pushed everything to the limit. We have been at war with ourselves. The human race has been at war with itself forever, but in a fairly formal way for 10,000 years since the flood, or since whatever happened 10,500 years ago, and creating ever more lethal weapons, killing ever more people, more destruction, ramping it up decade after decade, century after century. And finally, that wasn't enough. And so the human race went to war with the planet itself, the Earth, the water, and the air, amazingly.
Among ourselves.
Yes. You can do that if you want to. You can build nuclear bombs. You can build antimatter bombs. You can melt the ice caps, blow out the ozone. You can turn the entire Pacific Ocean, if you want, into a giant plastic dump. You can do those things, but you will pay a price. And at the same time that we are at war with the planet, and we're breeding our population we're heading towards 9 billion people. It's a catastrophe. And there are any number of very, very sharp experts that will tell you all the reasons why that's so. And there are Pollyannas out there. Oh, no, don't worry. It'll all work out. I'm sorry. I don't think so. So we've just hit the wall. And we know it. We sense it. We feel it. And it's putting stress on everything. It's breaking down social contracts. It's breaking down religious structures, in a sense, you know, corrupting religion.
That's correct.
It's certainly corrupting the human spirit. And now it's just a question of who is going to blow up what next, and when is the nuclear bomb finally going to get launched, and when is the ice caps finally going to melt, and the tundra melt and expose the methane, and when is the ocean going to go dead, when are the fish be gone, and on and on and on. And they're not talking 100, 200 years. They're talking 10 years, 20 years, 15 years. This is, of course, not good. And we really, not surprisingly, if you want to point to a kind of a point where we went across the tipping point in a way, to the sense that now we're heading down a road that virtually we may not be able to recover from, it would be 1945, without question. The population of the planet was 1.5 billion around 1900. By 1945, it was 3 billion. Big, it doubled in just 50 years. A lot, but not devastating. All right. And we had just we had finally, you know, blown up some atom bombs, so we knew we had that. We knew where that was going. We had a limited population, but we also had a technological revolution that was still underway. If at that point we say, look, we've had enough of war, we really don't want to build 20,000 of these bombs, we're going to have to get together and work this out, and we've got to control the population so that we can feed and clothe and house everyone and not just 80% and let the other 20% die in the street. If we had done that, then I think we would have been in a very, very good position at this point. But in fact, we did exactly the opposite. We took the population from 3 billion to 6 billion in less than 35 more years. We exploded the arms race to a degree that was beyond comprehension, beyond reason, and for good purpose. They called it MAD, Mutual Assured Destruction, one of the greatest, most appropriate acronyms of all time. We then went after the environment. We pushed it to the limit, consumerism, and used up the air, the water, and the soil, and created a situation about 45 years later that roughly is the same today. The human race is such that every single day, approximately 25 to 30,000 kids under the age of 16 simply drop dead from starvation, from malnutrition-related diseases, and other causes, about 20 to 25,000, 25,000 a day, roughly. It depends on the season and the weather. If the weather's bad, the number goes up. If the season is, you know, mild, it goes down, whatever. That's a big number. That's approximately 8 World Trade Centers a day. Every day, day after day. Now, let me make this clear. If there is a galactic, massive galactic culture out there, all right, okay, and they have a political structure, and they have some sort of, how would you say, legal rights to interact with other planets and what have you, and if our human race was viewed as a family, right, meaning we're the family, and we call ourselves the family of man, the family of humankind.
That's correct.
Then you know what would happen, based upon the way we are handling our affairs right now? a major official force. Would arrive on this planet, hundreds of thousands of craft, and they would take all of our children away. They would take them from us under a galactic court order, and they would be removed to a safe place, another planet.
That
and the correct. Entire adult population of this planet would be put on trial for child abuse of their own children. It would be like a family with 10 kids, who basically takes care of 6 unless the other 4 starve to death. You know what you do with a family like that? You take the other 6 kids away and you put the parents in jail. We conduct our affairs so badly, and we have made decisions so awful in the last 50 years that from 1945, when this number was probably tiny, to the end of the millennium, we now kill off 25 to 30,000 of our kids a day because we can't take care of them. So we should lose all of our children to some sort of galactic police force. That's the situation we're in.
So
and
let me ask you this.
We either change Nathan, that or we pay the
cost. Because I know this to be truth. So let me ask this question for all the people that are listening in. You know, what major part is the extraterrestrial? Because as you and I both know, there's been many movies out there to create fear of our extraterrestrial sisters and brothers. But what major part are they actually playing in overseeing the planet Earth? I mean,
I don't know. Believe me, I don't know. I have no idea. The only people that may know are individuals who claim that they are in direct contact with extraterrestrials in a very complex way. Not someone who's simply being, not an abductee or simple contact. We're talking about individuals who are being downloaded vast information. These individuals are numerous and they're around. And they get lots of information, which they have put it forward. And some of this information relates to complex descriptions of what is going on. The problem there, of course, is that it's extremely easy for anybody can concoct these scenarios. And so whatever information is valid within this large matrix of what I call directed information, all channeled information, whether it's coming from extraterrestrials or celestial beings or ancient, whatever, I call it all directed information. Whatever may be valid in that matrix, there is a lot of simple hooey that has been created by people for whatever reason, thus making it almost impossible to deal with as a political advocate and someone who's trying to pursue the political process. So what do you believe, what do you don't believe? I don't know. So what I have to do, Leilani, is take all of that, all directed information, and I put it aside into a nice, very nice, attractive box, right, which is carefully taken care of, right? I treat it with respect, but I can't use it. Someday, we will maybe be able to look back and open that box and go, wow, this person was tapped in. This person had the goods. This is the way it was. This person was simply a fraud, what have you. But for now, I can't go there. I'm a very Occam's razor, left brain guy. Nuts and bolts. All right. I'm surrounded by people who are involved in the most extraordinary kinds of personal experiences, so it's really kind of fun, but me personally, no, very basic. But there is an advantage to that, because I'm having to deal, and the resolution of this issue is going to have to go through people that are kind of like me. Left-brained, nuts and bolts, added up, bottom line, whatever. Politicians, political media, these are the people that are calling the shots. And these people have got to get it, and they've got to take action. So there's an advantage there. Having said that, all right, it doesn't mean that we don't have enough information to arrive at some thoughtful conclusions about this. And that's what I was saying before. The turning point, as I mentioned, was for 45, after the bombs were dropped. And we started making all the wrong decisions right away. But how many more bombs can we build? And 2 years after that war, these entities turned up in droves. And I do not believe that is an accident. I think that this was our tipping point, and that's exactly why they turned up in larger numbers or more prominently, less discreetly. And they started interacting in complex ways with us. They shut down missiles. They've created crop circles. They have taken people. They have collected DNA. They have done a lot of stuff. Something is going on that is very profound, but in a way, again, part of this bar mitzvah process, this coming of age process. Something, in other words, certain things have to be taken care of. Certain business has got to be done for us to do this. And it's just like a kid growing up. I mean, you want to get a kid from the age of 13 to 20, there's certain things that got to happen. There's certain things kids got to know. There's certain things that parents have got to do. Or this kid's going to go off into, you know, the big, big trouble. Maybe even not even survive. You know how many kids, you know, just get drunk, drive off in a car, and die, you know, before they get to be 18? A lot.
That's right.
And so what's going to happen here? And so these beings turn up, and they turn up in large numbers, and they start interacting with us. I believe that is part of this process. We also know they have not attacked us. They have not used their technology against us in a profound way, and they certainly could. They could destroy us 8 ways to Sunday. They haven't done it. We know that people are taken, but they're brought back.
Show last week on that. My guest, where they had firsthand experiences of that, and I intentionally did that show just to prepare for factsonwashington.org. Mm-hmm. Please continue, Steve.
But there's also some unpleasantness. I am not going to be surprised that we learn that there's some unpleasant things about all this that we're not going to be comfortable with. But overall, I believe it's a necessary process, and we're also going to be incredibly excited. This is where I'm at. Now, there are those that have constructed extremely elaborate, very far-reaching, and very exciting scenarios about what's going to take place. I can't speak to that. But I can say this, all right? I know a lot about what's going on. I have a fairly broad knowledge of the subject, not deep. It's broad and shallow, but not deep and narrow. but it's extensive. And I can say with high confidence that I am far more concerned about what humans are going to do over the next 10 years than what extraterrestrials are going to do. We have far more reason to be deeply worried about what humans are doing and plan to do than what these ETs are doing and plan to do. Now, that doesn't mean that there may not be a problem with ETs, but I'm just saying that the problem is down here, not up there as near as I can tell. But they are here, and something is going on. What is it leading to? Well, it's leading probably almost certainly to disclosure, which is going to happen soon, in which the world acknowledges to itself that they're here, that they exist and we're part of something bigger, and then very likely not long after that to formal open contact. Not a visit in the middle of the night, not, you know, being stopped on the side of the road, but rather discussions are underway, here's a translation, check it at CNN at 7, that kind of thing. That, obviously, at that point, the world is in a totally different place. The disclosure event is, I think, the more profound of the two. I think, so once disclosure takes place, which is the most profound event in human history, the actual open contact will almost be anticlimactic, though it'll still be a big deal. And that's where I think we're headed. I think it's soon. I think disclosure is this year. I think contact is within a few years. Open.
You're absolutely correct. And I had said that over a live radio broadcast that I did just recently, that that would indeed be listed this year. And I had gotten that really strong. I did, if you would permit, Steve, I'd like to talk with the listeners for just a moment.
Sure.
I'd like to invite and encourage all of you. I have done many shows on extraterrestrial. I've had the honor to do a live broadcast on the four secret governments. Why do I ask you to go back and re-listen to this show? It talks about how our extraterrestrial sisters and brothers have met with the four secret governments, have shared profound technology and medical knowledge that was meant to be shared with humanity. We've done shows on, you know, the greater understanding of the religious foundation. I love going to church. I love to sing in church. Do I always go to church? No, I don't, because I know that I carry that within my own heart. But my point is tonight is that if you sit and ponder on this for just one moment, is we've been controlled by our understanding, and if the truth embargo should indeed be lifted, what does that do with the foundation of our religions and our churches worldwide? What would the people that are going to church every day going to think? So I want you guys to and go back and listen to this. I've had many shows about the medical technology that has been shared, that where we can be free from all the illnesses that we all have to deal with one way or another through ourselves or a family member or even a friend or our next door neighbor. So I want to encourage you all to go back and listen to these shows. Please go on to www.factsonwashington.org. Also, I encourage you all to go to paradigmresearchgroup.org as well. You will find that I have listed four different links on my show page. I will keep that posted for all of you. You're all very welcome to copy and paste the information that I have up on my show page. Place it up in your blogs. Share this knowledge with the people around you. Invite them through your own actions to personally get involved, because you all know that we, the people, can indeed make a difference. Together in unity, we are the empowerment. I'd like to turn it back over to you. Thank you for letting me share those thoughts.
Certainly. And again, this is part of the more advanced thinking on this issue that many are trying to do. I mean, obviously, we're all operating under the truth embargo. unless you're over 62, you've lived your entire life under the truth embargo, the denial of this ET reality. And, of course, this disconnect has become increasingly obvious, and people are trying to fill in the gaps. But, of course, without the government's and the formal institutional involvement, we're operating at a huge disadvantage. So we do our best, and we're trying to understand and expand on this. And naturally, people are very, very resourceful, and there's extraordinary thinking that's been put out there about how things may go, and we need to do this. We need to think in advance. What could happen? How are things going to go? So that this is anticlimactic as much as possible, and not a huge shock to the system. I am generally optimistic that the overall disruption in the shock will not be that great. There is no question worldview is going to shift. The collective worldview of the human race is going to shift for substantially. Remember,
yes,
collectively. Even a modest change for 6 billion people is a big deal. All right. Individually, you'll see people whose world shift will just literally turn upside down, and others it'll be modest. On an individual basis, you'll get a huge spectrum of changes in outlook. But the overall is going to be substantial change. And all institutions will be challenged, and all structures will be challenged. That said, I actually am pretty confident religion is going to adapt pretty well. I don't see much of a problem there. I think we're going to reexamine religious history, and we're going to reinterpret it, and we're going to find that some of what we thought was what we'll call divine was not. But does that mean that the idea of the Godhead is eliminated? No. Does it mean that religious system goes away? Not at all. As a matter of fact, I anticipate religious membership to go up post-disclosure, not down.
I do, too.
We will reexamine, I think, the pluses and minuses of nationalism, the pluses and minuses of racism, and all this other stuff. Certainly, we will view ourselves more as a single species and the planet as our home, which, of course, has been a process underway for some time now, ever since the 50s. Barbara Ward wrote the book Spaceship Earth. That's been going on for some time. Nothing surprising there, only it'll get real. It'll become real. We'll start to truly, we've been hearing about it. We will grok it post-disclosure, the idea of single species, home planet. And that has potentially huge benefits if we use that change wisely. Now, there are no guarantees. And the fact is that there are plenty of forces out there that will do what they do, which is to take advantage of any change and see how they can use it to enrich themselves, increase their power, or just be malevolent. They are out there. They always have been a fairly small minority of the total population, but they
That's
have
right.
the ability to create huge havoc. And they're going to be at play post-disclosure. Now, that's always been the case throughout history. Whenever there was big change, these people showed up and they did their thing. However, this time around, the human race has got extraordinary tools of personal empowerment that simply didn't exist before. The internet alone is almost off the scale in terms of its impact on human empowerment. The rise of media, the rise of communication tools, populist media, all of this, and on. I mean, I don't want to waste your time with that, but the point is that we have the tools to ensure that this transition serves our interests, the human race's interests, and not the interests of a few, and not the interest of the malevolent. We have more tools than ever to make this happen. But if we don't use them, if we simply sit back and go, whatever happens, happens, I can't be bothered, well, then those who are highly motivated to self-aggrandizement, self-empowerment, for evil purposes, they'll be there and they'll be doing their thing. So post-disclosure world is when the party begins. Disclosure will take 5 minutes. It's done. The U.S. government says, you know, at some press briefing, yes, ETs are here. We didn't tell you. Now we're telling you now. That's it. Disclosure's done. Now we're in the post-disclosure world, which will be a back-and-forth battle between the state and the people over the information, how much, when does it come out, and how good is it? What's the quality of it? How truthful is it? The press is in the middle of this, and the press will play the key role. And I think the press will step up because this is the biggest story of all time, and they're just not going to put up with any manipulation. They're going to say, I'm going after it. I want the truth. You tell me, don't give me any nonsense. I want it. And that's going to be a good thing. So it's going to be an extraordinary time. Unlike anything you'll ever see, and it'll be amazing, and I can't wait for it to begin.
Steve, I apologize for interjecting. I know the show I broadcasted last week, we discussed about all the different life forces of extraterrestrials and what they looked like and how they interacted, and part of what they were sharing with us as their own species. And so I want to once again remind all of you that was last week's broadcast. If you missed it, go back and listen to that as well, because that'll help you with a deeper appreciation and understanding that many of them are just like you and I. You know, I've had my own personal experiences, and I want to remind all of you, factsonwashington.org. And for all your convenience, we are continuously posting that information for all of your convenience. We will keep this information posted up on my show page with BBS Radio. As you, many of you know that we've had Stephen on the Universal Spiritual Connection many, many times. He's shared a wealth of information. Take your time, explore his website, paradigmresearchgroup.org. Thank you for letting me share that.
Yes, indeed. And to elaborate further, when disclosure takes place, one of the things I'm fairly confident will happen is that contactees by the thousands and thousands and thousands are going to come out of the closet. How many, we don't know, but it's a big number. And they're going to share experiences. And then, of course, the people that have already come out, all their accounts are going to be examined in great detail. And very quickly, we're going to establish a very substantial matrix of information about the ETs through these firsthand contacts, which, of course, will be acknowledged as being valid. There'll be some bogus stuff mixed in there, but the overwhelming will be valid. The other thing is I expect the contactees to form a political force very quickly. I expect them to create organizations with political agendas to address their concerns, and that will happen very fast. So this is just a glimpse of what's coming. That is not going to happen unless we end this embargo. The embargo has been successful enough that overall, without that acknowledgement, we're treading water here. We're just not going anywhere. I mean, I won't say that the public awareness hasn't grown. It has. And a lot has taken place. There's no question about that. But there isn't still a formal university program teaching ET issue in all of the 5,000 colleges and universities. There are no government grants to study it. There are no collegial grants to study it. The press is still not covering it appropriately, and the abductees are still not treated as being valid. So we're still not going anywhere. And this is true in a whole range of issues. We're not really making any headway with respect to environmental crises, political crises, crises of nationalism, crises of racism. We are still treading water to some degree. We're not making progress fast enough to deal with what we're facing. We don't have the luxury of time anymore. And so we've got to have this formal acknowledgement. That's why the facts on Washington is important, because I think it brings us an opportunity to put the key in the door and unlock it. And that key is the media. The media in focus is the White House press corps. We're going to send them thousands of letters, faxes, and emails, and we're going to give them questions to ask. We're going to direct to a website, and when they go there, they're going to see links to the key subject matter. And Rockefeller Initiative is one of the huge the key connections, and of course the other is the work of Grant Cameron, a Canadian researcher who for 11 years has been amassing the largest archive in the world on the interconnection between the UFOET issue and U.S. presidents. And the crown jewel, in my opinion, of that archive material is the Clinton administration, which, of course, incorporates the Rockefeller Initiative. And why is that important? It's important because people who were there during the time of the Rockefeller Initiative have gone on to become major figures in the current administration and the Democratic Party. And so they are there to be asked about this and a lot more, and they can't run from the issue. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about President Clinton, who obviously was fully aware of the Rockefeller Initiative and attempted to even respond to it within the constraints that he had. His wife, Hillary Clinton, who is now the Secretary of State, his chief of staff, Leon Panetta, who is now the director of the CIA, his key advisor, John Podesta, who became his transition co-chair and is, of course, the founder of the number one progressive think tank in America, the Center for American Progress, a close friend of the Clintons and a key member of administration, Bill Richardson, who is now the governor of New Mexico. All of these people need to be asked about this. The press has all the information. We have the links, the documents confirming the initiative, photos of the Clintons and Rockefeller together, YouTube videos of John Podesta's calling for the release of the documents, and on and on and on. It is all there on the website supporting every one of these questions. And so when the press sees that and asks these questions, if they don't get an appropriate response, they're going to ask 10 more questions. And so essentially what we're trying to do is to trigger a media breakout in the month of June. Only a handful of reporters are needed, 3 to 4. That's all it'll take. 4 or 5 questions, bad answers, 4 or 5 follow-ups, and the spell will be lifted. The veil will be taken off the collective eye. And
do me a favor, when you get ready to launch this off, send me a notice so I can post that information up on my show page, and I'll send out as well notices as a reminder for everyone to tune in. Okay.
Well, okay. Now the Vax in Washington Phase 3 was launched Monday. I mean, it's
right.
It's off. It was off yesterday. It's up and running. You can go there. You can see it all. And I'll be doing media throughout the month of June. So what your listeners are going to be seeing are articles in the web. They're going to be seeing articles coming off of Google. They're going to see a lot of stuff turning up in the media. They're going to see this, and there's going to be a lot more of me calling for this, the people to step up and write these letters to the press corps, through the White House Correspondents Association. All this is going to be bubbling all through June. So it's launched. The end point is those questions. When you start seeing those questions turning up, when you start seeing the press corps asking those questions, or other members of the political press corps, say over at State or Defense or the CIA, starting to ask these questions, you'll know that the end of the embargo is really close at hand. And so that's what your listeners need to watch for. And
okay.
At factsinwashington.org, there's a link to banners. You can go grab some banners and stick them up on your sites if you want. And link to the page. Also tell your Facebook friends about the Facts on Washington Facebook group, and your email list, and just spread the word far and wide. All we want is one letter. We'd prefer a letter, fax, and an email, but we'll take one, just one, sent to the press corps. That's all we need. And if we get about 50 to 100,000 of those, I guarantee you the earth will move.
Absolutely. I'm going to have to end the show and come back again and let me know personally how I may be of greater service. I have a lot of passion. I feel that humanity does indeed have the right to know the truth. I have personally made sure that I've ran many, many shows on the subject.
Yes.
I'd like to take a moment and remind all of you, you can indeed make a difference. Your voice does indeed count, for we are the voice of we the people. Factsonwashington.org. You're also welcome to explore paradigmresearchgroup.org. I also will keep that information posted up on my show page with BBS Radio. Take your time, really explore it. Share this information. You can indeed make a difference, for we are indeed the empowerment. I'd like to give you a moment, Stephen, if you would like, to share a few your last thoughts with all of us before we say goodnight.
Certainly. This is a critical time in the human story, and we have the great gift of being able to be involved directly in it. It's a gift, truly. We can be a positive force or a negative force. We live in a society with a government and with lots of rules and regs, and we need to do it within the constraints of that society. And that means we have to deal with the press. We need to deal with the president, the executive branch, the Congress. We need to make this happen within the context that we're in. And that means civic participation. People have got to step up, and they've got to personally get involved. And in this case, we're trying to make it as straightforward as possible. Letters to the White House press corps calling for these questions to be asked. It's not a lot to ask, but it could be very, very important. And we also hope that everyone will start to prepare themselves for the post-disclosure world that's coming.
Absolutely.
So they can address it in a positive way and reshape this world. I'd also like to say there's a lot of great conferences coming up. There is going to be an ExoPolitics conference in Spain in July 25, in Barcelona, an ExoPolitics conference in Leeds, England, June 27th, and another ExoPolitics conference in Liverpool, England, on September 11th and 12th. I'm also going to be speaking at Anota Grace in July. It is a conference out in West Virginia in White Sulphur Springs. All of these are at my website. You can see all the speaking engagements. And I enjoy people to support those conferences and the other exopolitics sites and organizations that are springing up all over. You go to paradigmresearchgroup.org, you can see lists of these. The exopoliticsworld.net, exopoliticsunitedstates.net, the Exopolitics Institute, there's so many. There is a movement underway. Now, it's a political movement. Now, there's also a spiritual movement underway. In fact, there's multiple movements. The whole world is literally shifting. And some people are involved in four or five of them, and some are involved in just one. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I'm a basic guy. But I am excited that it will work out for the best. But there are no guarantees. If we do not act, the idea that it'll all work out, no. I am not Pangloss, and this isn't Candide.
Yes.
The history of our planet is filled with millions of species that are no longer here anymore, right? We could be one of them. Or we could make the planet so unbearable we wish we were one of them. And so you have to, if you want the world to be better, you got to act to make it better. And boy, have we got ourselves a lollapalooza of an opportunity. This event, this disclosure event, and the likely contact to follow can go well or it can go badly. It's pretty much up to us. And we do have an opportunity still to influence the process leading in and the process leading out. So I hope your listeners will join this movement and tell their friends. And I'll get back to you hopefully maybe in a month, and we'll see where we're at that time.
Thank you. And thank you for caring and being that voice for humanity. I honor and appreciate all you do for each and every one of us, Stephen, and keep me posted. You know that I have a lot of passion and support of your work. It has been truly an honor to have you with us, and good night to you, Stephen. I'd like to remind you all that you are the authority and the empowerment of you, your worlds, and activities. With every breath and every step, you are the expression and the voice of your hearts. Remember that you are making a difference in our world. Good night to each and every one of you. Be kind to each other and to yourselves. God bless and good night.
want is all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but